Kyle, are you on?
I'm on a lane to Lent. How are you doing there in Wisconsin?
That's very timely. I like that one. Yes. Yes, I am doing great. I am also on a snowy lane to Lent.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
It's coming soon.
Yeah, it is. And when is Ash Wednesday this year? I don't even know.
It's February 20-something or other.
Okay.
Or maybe 14th.
All right.
Somewhere in there, but it's.
Well, that's
it'll be February 28, I think, is Lent.
Okay. That's when I have to put the beer back in the fridge and order
iced
tea.
That can't be right.
For the next six
weeks.
No,
I'm sorry. It's Wednesday, February 14. Yeah, that makes more sense.
It is because Easter is early.
Yes.
So
Easter is March 30.
Yep.
Or 31 or something like that. March 31. Yeah, March 31.
I'm not.
Is it? Or is it April 6?
No, it's March 31. Yep.
Okay.
It is. Yep. I'm not a very strict.
That's right. If I just count 6 weeks, I'd make it.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a very strict Lent guy, but I do like to reset my body's understanding of alcohol every year. So
yeah,
it's a good fast for me.
Well, we kind of look at Lent a little bit differently in my denomination. We call it Easter prep because we don't like the concept of focusing on guilt or
deprivation.
You know, rather than give up something for Lent, why don't you add something like a devotion or time with God or in preparation? So it's just a different approach. So anyway, here we are geocaching scripture, and I have a question for you, Josh.
Well, I have an answer. Let's see if they match.
Yeah, and every once in a while, one out of 10, they do.
Somewhere in there, yep.
Yeah. Have you ever seen or experienced a miracle, or perhaps a direct intervention by God, so depending on whichever way you look at it?
I think I have, but I feel like my stories of that are not as acutely interesting as other people's stories. I think I can look back and see sort of the long, gentle slope of God leading me somewhere or leading me away from somewhere or someone. Mm. And so that, I would say, you know, definitely is a miracle as I look back on it. But quite suddenly, right in front of my face, that's probably only happened a few times.
Mm. I feel like I've experienced a few, but I thought I'd share one with you. Most of them have to deal with a healing or something that I've seen.
Mm.
But I'm going to share a story that happened to me when I was 5 years old. We had goats, and my job was to water the goats. And the way I would water the goats is I would take a jug out.
I love how casually you say that, by the way. We had goats, you know, like you do.
Hey, you know, Look, I grew up in a farming community, so, you know.
You had goats.
We had goats.
Yeah.
Dad would milk the goats. We'd drink goat milk, and one of these days I'm going to do a podcast on milking cows, but I've done that too. But anyway. So I grabbed a jug and I ran out the door and filled it full of water and ran to the goats and spilled half the water.
Yep.
So I got to the goats and my dad said, go get more water. And I was upset for some reason, probably because I wasn't playing. I ran back to the house, ran in the back door, tripped and fell. And this jug, which was a gallon jug of glass, broke.
Oh.
And I landed on it and it cut my wrist clear to the bone.
Mm.
It cut the tendons, ligaments, artery, everything.
Wow.
Well, obviously my mother screamed and my dad ran in the house. And my dad was telling me later, he says, like, you know, you go into panic mode because, I think if I recall correctly, my mother screamed and then passed out. And then my dad came in and he looks at both of us, what do I do? And he said, the words just came to him, put on a tourniquet. So he got he tied up my arm. I don't know where he tied it up. Doesn't matter.
Mm.
And then he said, now what? And he just said he heard the words, pour wine on it. And we didn't ever have wine in the house, but we did that day. And so he took a bottle of wine and just poured it all over the wound, which didn't make sense to him at the time, right? And then he said, then he heard, put olive oil on it. And so he just poured olive oil on it, and then he was told, wrap it up. And these things just came to his mind. At the time, he was just thinking, I'm thinking these things. Later, he said, told me, he said, this is God was telling me what to do because I did not know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he wrapped it up. Now, then he got on the phone and called the, we didn't have a car. I should mention that. We did not have a car at the time.
You didn't have a car?
Well, okay. it was in the, oh, it didn't
okay.
work.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, so he called the hospital and the, we lived out in the country. The ambulance, the hospital said, we can't send an ambulance out that far. Our ambulances are for the city, you know.
Sure.
So dad called a friend and long story short, it was 2 hours before I got to the hospital. And, the only two things I remember was I remember lying in, I was in my bed while he was trying to get a ride to the hospital and I woke up and my mom asked me if I wanted a peanut butter sandwich, which I don't know why I remember that. And the next thing I remember is I woke up and I was in my dad's arms on the way to the hospital. And those are the only two things I remember. I don't remember anything about my hospital stay. I was there for a week. Don't remember a thing.
Wow.
Probably put it out of my mind. But anyway, so we get to the hospital, and again, it was 2 hours from the time the injury happened. So the doctor's talking to my dad. He hasn't opened the wound yet because it's pretty, dad had wound it pretty tight. It wasn't bleeding. And dad told him the story, and the doctor said, well, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do. That was 2 hours ago.
Mm.
And he said, I'm either going to have to cut it off and give him a prosthesis, or I'll just sew it up and I'll sew up what I can in it, but he'll never have control over his hand. It'll be spasmastic the rest of his life.
Mm.
And my dad said, well, do what you can. My dad said, do what you can because I've already put out the call. Our whole church is praying for this.
Mm.
Okay. So the doctor unwraps it. And he said, he looked at it in shock. And I mean, of course, I'm hearing this later. Dad's telling me the story. He looked at it in shock and he said, when did this happen? And dad said, about 2 hours ago.
Hmm.
And he said, what did you do to it? And my dad said, well, I poured wine on it. And the doctor just looks at him and says, why? And he says, well, I thought I don't know. He said, I just came to my mind. And he says, then I poured olive oil on it. And the doctor says, well, you're not supposed to pickle it. You know, he actually said that. But the doctor looked at it, he says, it looked like it just happened. Mm. He said, this is unbelievable. He said, I've never seen a wound that's 2 hours old that looked like it just happened. He says, I think I may be able to do something.
Wow.
So anyway, they took me in surgery, and the doctor was able to fasten all the ligaments, the tendons, of course, first the artery. And then he said, the bundles of nerves, he said, he couldn't separate nerves. I don't know much about anatomy. So what I understand is he just sewed around them. You know, kind of put them in a bundle, sewed around them.
Yeah.
And then he said, I have no idea what is going to happen to his hand.
Mm.
He said, but I did the best I could. So for months, I had just a rubber ball, and I would just try to squeeze it. I remember that as a kid, just try to squeeze that ball. Anyway, I have a hand today because of answer prayer, because of a miracle.
Wow.
And the doctor told my dad many, many times, this is a miracle. He said, I really didn't do anything. This is something that is beyond me. This is beyond my my abilities. And the fact that the wound looked brand new is the only reason I even went in there and tried to do anything.
Mm.
And so my right hand is smaller than my left hand. I don't have the dexterity of it, which prevented me from doing sports because I just don't have the dexterity to do sports.
Yeah.
But I'm right-handed. I write right-handed. I eat right-handed. I can type 100 words a minute. So most things I can do with my hand.
Can I see the scar? Sorry guys, we're on Zoom.
Yeah, it had 30, I think 36 stitches across there.
So, that's just right on the top of everything, isn't it?
Yeah,
just,
right there. Yep.
Wow.
But here's the kicker, Josh. We were in a cult at the time.
Hmm.
And we did not believe in the Trinity. Hmm. So in essence, we were denying the Holy Spirit. Hmm. Right? And hmm. and we had some other different beliefs that are not important at this time. They're all based on Jewish traditions in the Old Testament. So there was nothing weird. It was just it was weird, but I mean, there's nothing anti-biblical. It was just total misinterpretations of the scriptures.
It was a it you drew it together in a funny way.
Yeah, exactly.
To say the least, yeah.
So while most people would say, look, those people are not Christians because they deny the Trinity,
mm-hmm.
God answered our prayers, you know? And I realized over the years, I've realized that God has a way of getting our attention because, I mean, I'm telling you, every time I look at my hand, I think of God. Mm. And I realize that he did something for me.
Beautiful.
He has a way of getting our attention, of opening our eyes and listening to our prayers, even if we don't understand theology perfectly or even at all. Mm. And I think that goes back to that scripture in Romans where we are told that there are times when we simply groan and moan and the Holy Spirit prays for us and offers our prayers up as incense. And I think there are times even when we're saying words that they're just, God is saying that's not what he really means. You know, surely he does not mean that. And the Holy Spirit somehow fixes that for us and takes our words to Father, Son, and Spirit, and they answer our prayers. Mm. And here's the thing that I realized, that God is bigger than a cult. He's bigger than our belief systems. He's bigger than denominationalism. He is the one who said, I came to bring many sons and daughters to glory. And he did not talk about their belief systems. He talked about who he is. And I think belief systems are important. My point is, God is bigger than that, you know, and that he has ways of reaching people even in the midst of their cultness or unbelief, because he cares for us and he loves us that much. That's what Jesus did. He opened the way for all of us to have a relationship with God, but it's through him. And I think every time I look at my hand, I know God is real.
And you have the scars to prove it.
I have the scars to prove it.
Pax Humana.
Cheers.